Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. Manifesting a paradigm of peace, wellness, health, freedom, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. This is part two of my interview with Yanaya Tomczyk. We're listening to the music of Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. This is the Turkey Song. Yanaya Tomczyk was born in Slovenia, a former part of Yugoslavia. She got her bachelor's degree in molecular biology at a university in Italy, and in 2002 she received her PhD in molecular biology at the same university. In 2005 she moved to the Department of Microbiology at Ohio State University as postdoctoral fellow, where she did research on RNA and bacteria. In 2008, she moved to Cancer Center as a postdoctoral fellow and started working in a human genetics laboratory studying genetic predisposition to colon cancer and later thyroid cancer. Since 2017, she has been working at a cancer center in Southern California as staff scientist, working on genetic predisposition to breast cancer. During her career, Yanaya has published several first-author peer-reviewed papers and collaborated with many scientists and co-authored research papers. In 2018, she completed plant-based nutrition certificate at T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies in E. Cornell as she started realizing diseases can be prevented, even cancer. Yanaya chose the vegan path in May 2013 because of her friend Bambi, a young Jersey bull calf steer. She helped rescue while volunteering at a sanctuary for farmed animals in Ohio. In 2020, just before the lockdown, Yanaya started running a month-long program that was supposed to teach people about benefits of choosing the vegan path. They had to end it short because of the lockdowns. Here's a quote from Yanaya. And then shortly we'll be joined by Yanaya for part two of our interview. Yanaya Tomczyk, PhD, quote, "Humans are awakening from the spell that a death cult has cast upon us a long time ago, probably millennia. Eating animals was a major part of that spell, and I believe making animal products addictive is what is keeping us from awakening faster. We actually need to see we have been living in an upside-down world all our lives, and now the world is being put right side up. The disconnect from nature and our Creator is a big part of why we are so lost." Again, as a biologist, I can say that believing in evolution is just another trap that keeps us from knowing who we truly are and how powerful we are. We need to awaken to that knowledge. It's time to realize we are not victims. We can be in full control of our health. End quote. we'll be starting out our part two interview talking about fear and the mind. Welcome, Yaneir. It's a great honor and privilege and wonderful to have you here with us again on Vegan Nation for part two of your interview. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlene, for having me again so we can continue our discussion. Yeah, understanding what fear means is actually, and what it does to our body is really important. So I was really not aware of how important it is until in 2020, I kind of came across a couple of very interesting articles, and they were both in Psychology Today. One was published, they were published in March, one was published on March 12th, and the title was How Coronavirus Anxiety Can Make You Feel Sick. And in this article, they were describing, and I quote, during a pandemic, public anxiety spreads faster than the disease as people begin to experience symptoms widely publicized as being associated with the virus. This is true even when the only exposure, in quotes, they have had is through their television sets or computer screens. This is the end quote. The other article that was published on the 26th was titled Anxiety versus Coronavirus, How to Tell the Difference. So it's clear from that article, it was clear that pushing fear and creating anxiety can cause serious health problems. And when this is connected with a bogus test that is 100% wrong and showing positive results, this leads to the disaster that we witnessed in 2020. Later on, I came across, maybe this was published in 21 or 22, I came across a very good Substack article written by Mike Stone. He's an independent researcher that he titled Fear is the Real Virus. Here in his article, he digs up data from peer-reviewed papers where he shows how fear can cause symptoms that are very close to COVID symptoms that were labeled COVID symptoms in 2020. So for people that are calling us conspiracy theorists, I just want to point out an article that was published in July 2021 where the CDC actually admitted that anxiety and fear-related disorders were the second leading cause of death in the period under study, which was from March 2020 to March 2021. So this comes from the CDC. It's not just some independent researcher publishing something. And another interesting quote that I found a couple of years ago is by Julianne Holt Lundstad. She gave a presentation at the 125th Annual Convention of the American Psychological Association in 2017. And her quote is, being connected to others socially is widely considered as fundamental human need, crucial to both well-being and survival. End quote. In this presentation, she highlighted the importance of social connections for human health and longevity. What was the first thing that was done in 2020? Social distancing was implemented, and we know this is a complete oxymoron, and we were supposed to be isolated in our homes. Everything was the complete opposite from any common sense, and during that time, we were told not to go outside, stay away from the gym. Most people didn't question the narrative at all. They just complied because of fear, fear of this deadly virus. And just to remind you all, this deadly virus has never even been isolated and proven to exist. So fear was really playing tricks on people. And I know it played it on me for the first few weeks until I started really researching and finding out the truth.
And on that note, I'd like to delve more into your thoughts about the mind and the influence that the mind has on both what's happening to us personally and within our bodies, but also how we all know that the military-industrial complex has a major part in what's going on, even with public health issues, and how that is being used to manipulate the mind.
I was really not aware of the importance of human mind. That's actually even more important than whatever is present in the material. Like mind is actually creating matter. So when in 2020 I really started doing a lot of research that was outside my expertise, which is molecular biology and genetics, I came across an interview with Dr. Bruce Lipton, who is a cell biologist. So again, he has a PhD in cell biology, but he was talking at that point about the placebo and nocebo effects. And most people know what a placebo is, and majority is completely unaware what nocebo is. So placebo is a positive. You think that some pill will help you and it will help. Nocebo is the opposite, when you think that something will hurt you and it's going to hurt you. So this is when people were being told you have COVID, you immediately embrace this narrative, you have COVID, which leads you down the, oh, I'm going to die, because the numbers that were being rolled on all these different TV stations was how many people were dying, right? So when I started digging deeper, I really found a lot of stuff that was completely opposite to what I was. I knew what I learned in school. And at one point, two of my very good friends, who are both vegan, sent me an article where existence of DNA as double helix was questioned. And at first, I didn't even want to read it. But a few months later, I went ahead and I read it. I immediately knew that what was written in there was the truth, although it was completely going against everything that I learned in school. So then later on during my research, I came across a couple of great books written by physicists. So again, people with all sorts of PhDs in physics. So one is Self-Aware Universe, How Consciousness Creates the Material World, written by Amit Goswami. He is a PhD. He's a retired professor of physics from Oregon University, I believe. And then The Matter Myth, Dramatic Discoveries That Challenge Our Understanding of Physical Reality, also written by two physicists. And I would recommend the first book to everybody. The second one is more complicated, and I didn't read the whole thing myself either, because when physicists write stuff, that goes way above my head. But the first one is relatively simple. To other people that I know, a theoretical physicist and an electronic engineer are also questioning things around them, and they're questioning atoms. So atoms are building blocks of molecules such as vitamins, hormones, DNA, proteins, and their research leads us to understand it's all energy, and that matter truly is just a myth that keeps this upside down world that some people call a matrix going. So our mind is very important. It's very important to understand how it works. What I say is that learning the truth and understanding it and embracing it fully leads to veganism. In my view, it's that simple, because we really need to be honest with ourselves and say, if everything is energy, then it's clear what energy do we want to put in our body. Is it positive, happy energy of plants, or is it negative energy of suffering animals that are being killed in slaughterhouses? I mean, it doesn't really take a physicist to understand how things work.
On that note about the negative energy, tell me more information about the experience of mice in cancer research. And actually, lab animals, quote unquote, lab animals in general, in laboratories, whether it's military or biomed.
Yes, so it's all sorts of animals that are being used in not just cancer research, diabetes, all of these different quote-unquote diseases, because it's just a disease. All these diseases are invented so we can make money off of them and we can exploit animals. This is how I started seeing it over the last few years. So mice are the most commonly used because they really are easy to breed, so you can have several generations in a year. And they're closed in these small cages and pretty much injected, very often injected with all sorts of stuff. I mean, all of these experiments are approved by what are called regulatory agencies or whatever. So it's all kind of approved, but because they never really think about what is being done and how it's all unnecessary. But still, NIH, National Institute of Health, all these different agencies that fund research, they are very often pushing researchers to use mouse models. When you talk to researchers, they say, yes, we should use mice because they're so similar to humans. I mean, they're mammals, right? But when you tell them, okay, so then because they're so similar to humans, then I guess you understand that they suffer and they feel pain. Oh, no, they're not that similar to humans. So you see, I mean, we immediately have these double standards that are very common in most humans, right? So yeah, that's the life of mice or other experimental animals are definitely not fun.
We're listening to Yonea Tomczyk, PhD, a molecular biologist. Yonea is joining us via Skype in Southern California. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Yonea Tomczyk. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. Listening to the song Alive by Will Tuttle. Earlier in the program, we heard the geese song. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Yonea Tomczyk. Last time, on our interview last week, you mentioned COVID not being a zoonotic disease, COVID virus coming from animals. Tell me more about that.
Yes, so last time I mentioned that, and so vegans have embraced the whole zoonotic disease story and are trying to convince people how not eating animals will stop all pandemics because we won't be breeding them, there will be no viruses coming out of those farms. But the way I see it is that all pandemics are fictionally created using tests that are bogus. And then we are given cures that are harming people. So it's all just designed in order for people to get really to get poisoned. People will start seeing the world differently when they start embracing the truth and they will start going vegan. It's kind of a natural step in evolution of human consciousness. But to me, it's really sad to watch how compassionate people that are hurting because of what we know is happening to millions of animals every day. So vegans are embracing lies to further an agenda. In this case, it's a good agenda, but still it's an agenda and promoting it via sharing lies, although they don't know it's a lie. It's not a good thing because we need to stand in truth to promote the truth and to lead to the final, the world that is standing in truth.
Thank you, Yonea. And I'd like to ask another question concerning current contemporary events, and specifically the bird flu.
Yes, the bird flu, it's more fear that's being pushed. Because again, PCR test that's being used is not able to really say anything about anything. So it's just this positive test that's freaking everybody out. It's bringing the narrative that all the animals at all these farms where tests are being used need to be killed because, otherwise the flu will spread. It's just more fear. But then again, on one hand, it's more fear for the people that have done pretty much zero research. But for some people that have done a little bit of research and are kind of seeing that fear is the main weapon that whoever is not supposed to be, that was never supposed to be above us and was never supposed to rule over us, is using, right? The fear is pretty much their only weapon. So once you realize that, you will not take any of these things seriously, because there is no need to be taking them seriously. If we understand, again, the power of mind, if we understand how none of these viruses have ever been proven to exist, and how a lot of research that we do is just making up stories through research experiments that are not using scientific method. It's really easy to get away from under this trap that is constantly being set for people to fall into.
Thank you very much, Shaneya.
So if you approach them in a different way and really try to make them understand, first, it's healthier to eat whole food, plant-based diet. It's healthier for you, and definitely it's healthier for the animals. And have them just connect with what I say. The small child they were back in the day, 5 years old, cuddling with grandma's chicken or maybe grandma's goat. So bring that back to them. Maybe they will connect easier with what you're telling them, because at that point you are standing in the truth, and you are pretty much heart connecting, kind of connecting by heart with people that are on the other side of the, that you're talking to, right, that are on the other side of the table, let's say.
So I think that's really important that we keep understanding that veganism is about questioning the mainstream narrative.
Yes, this is so very important, because we are always given, by the mainstream narrative, we are always given two solutions. One good example is wet market being the source of this SARS-CoV-2 or lab, so lab leak, right? Another one is how animal flesh is good. No, lab-grown meat is good. None of this is the truth. So we need to question everything that's coming out from mainstream, because mainstream gives us both kind of what some people see as two sides that are different, but then they're actually all the same because they're still buying into the same narrative. So the one about SARS coming from wet market or being a lab leak, it still sells you the story that this virus really exists when it doesn't. And giving you lab-grown meat and animal flesh, it's again, they're completely discounting that we can eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds, and we will be just fine. So to the point when my dad was in the hospital 4 or 5 years ago for something relatively minor, he pretty much was offered food. So I was very worried what he would be eating while in the hospital. But he was actually offered a choice, regular, vegetarian, or vegan. So what he actually said at his 81 or 82 years of age, oh, my daughter, she's been promoting vegan, whole food, plant-based as healthy. So yeah, I'm just going to go with whole food, plant-based. So here we are. I was surprised, but I was kind of proud of my dad. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's precious. And was that in Slovenia?
That was in Slovenia, yes.
Beautiful.
All of these narratives that are being said by mainstream, we need to question all of them, like really all of them.
In my research by platforms that are not mainstream, it has been said that the PCR testing has a purpose that might be being used for DNA collection and being used for this coming of this whole AI-controlled narrative that's kind of taking over the world. Can you talk about that?
So, yes. So, definitely, taking a swab allows to take human cells, right? Part of the same sample can be used for COVID testing, and then the other part can be used to extract DNA. And this DNA is being used for what's called sequencing. So we were talking about PCR and viral genome sequencing, but then there is also DNA genome sequencing. What I can say as a geneticist, I would never submit to a testing like this, because yes, you pretty much never know what they're taking or where they are sending the DNA that they can extract. Another thing, I would also never send my DNA to any of these companies that are usually used for ancestry analysis. And some of these companies are also used to be diagnosing genetic diseases. And the problem with them is that these companies are being bought and sold. So again, you don't know. Today, it's the company X owned by this person, but then it can get sold to somebody else and the rules change all of a sudden, and all of a sudden your DNA is up for grabs. All of that information that's very important and people are not aware how important it is being sold to somebody that maybe won't take care of it.
Thank you. We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What websites or contact information that you'd like to share?
I will put the links to some of these articles. Marlene will put them in the show notes. I can be found on Instagram. Marlene tagged me on Instagram under Yerneya Caserta. I can be found on Facebook, the same, Yerneya Caserta. I have a Rumble channel that's Yerneya 18. Some stuff is in Slovene, but then there is some stuff in English. And right now I'm planning on doing a series of conversations with our vegan friend, John Blade. And we will go deep into a lot of different topics. So that's it for today. And thank you, Marlene, for having me again on your show.
Thank you, Yerneya. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Let's go out with Ellie Sarti, a local vegan musician. This is her song, Everything Comes Around. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.